want to start off with a little story about myself, sadly, which wasn't in that CV for some reason. When I was living in London, I was working at the Catholic Media Office, and every week, at least once a week, a small group used to get together and go to watch a film in London, usually at the Prince Charles near Leicester Square, because it was cheaper than anywhere else, and then go for a Chinese meal, usually at Hing Loon, which still does a meal for a meal for £7.90 a head in the middle of London. £7.90 for a Chinese meal. Hing Loon, Gerrard Street, go and find it. And when I left London, that stopped. And I've hardly been to the cinema since. I used to go every week, at least once a week, and since I left London, I've hardly been. I could probably name the films I've seen in the last 10 years, all of them. The last one was We Must Talk About Kevin. One before that was The King's Speech, and then I just stopped. Why? Why did I stop going to the cinema? First of all, I moved. I moved from where I was into unfamiliar circumstances and surroundings. So I lost that contact with an environment I was familiar with. I lost touch with the friends I used to go with. I lost touch with that support group that used to say, come on, we're going to the cinema tomorrow. And there's no one now. A few people started to say, when did you last go to the cinema? Oh, 2 years ago. Oh, come with us. We're going to see The King's Speech or Alice in Wonderland. And then I lost my routine. I had a different routine, a different timetable. And then I had a different set of priorities. Well, I ought to do this, this, and this. And I thought that's an interesting paradigm, probably, for what happens to many Catholics. Because when Catholics begin to drift away from church, it's probably not because they've fallen out with Father so-and-so. We're doing some research in the department, in the Home Mission Desk, trying to discover why people drift away. And it's probably not because they've fallen out with anybody. I didn't have a big argument with Steven Spielberg about cinema. But I just somehow stopped going. And now I don't really miss it, because I can watch films if I need to, get a DVD out, or just watch old films on television. I found I don't need the cinema anymore, but at the time, it was a great support for me, a part of my life. The question then is, the question we're facing today, is this a new crisis that has hit the church? Are we suddenly faced with alarming fall-off in numbers attending our church, our churches? And the answer is probably no. If you read Michael Hornsby Smith's analysis of the Catholic Church in the early 20th century in this country, Michael Hornsby Smith wrote two social studies of the Catholic Church. He talked about Irish immigration in the 1830s and 1840s into this country. And one of the things he says that the first thing that many of the Irish did when they came to England was lapse. It's one of the first things many of them did, stop going to church. Because, again, different circumstances, no peer pressure, suddenly found themselves free, nobody looking over their shoulder. It'd be interesting to do some analysis with things like the Polish community in this country. You know, what sort of experience are they going through? But I don't think it's a new phenomenon, and therefore I don't think we're at a point of crisis. Because that's a word that we hear again and again, we are in crisis. Well, first of all, it's a very arrogant thing to say that we're particularly privileged to be at a point of crisis. We're so special, we are at the worst point in the church's history. That marks us out as really privileged. But we're not. I've said this often before. It was actually a Jesuit from Gregorian, Michael Paul Gallagher, who said, crisis. He says, the church has been in the crisis since the cock crowed for the third time. And we have. The church has never held itself up and said, we've done it. We're successful. We can retire now. We've done what the Lord wanted. We haven't. We struggle along as best we can, doing what the Lord wants us to do. But I think it would be misleading to say we're at a point of crisis now and therefore we must panic and do something. I don't think we are. But nevertheless, the impulse is there from the Spirit to do something. We can't just sit back and say, well, that's the way it's always been. A quarter of our people only coming to church. That probably hasn't altered significantly in the past 100 years. And it's probably no different from other countries. I was in Madrid in the summer, in the middle of August. Great place, time to be in Madrid, obviously. With nobody else apart from a million young people. And I gave one of the catecheses in a parish on the outskirts of Madrid. So we drove out through Madrid past the big football stadium. Oh, that's a big football stadium. And we got to the little parish, and there was a church in the middle of a shopping centre. And it looked a bit drab because, A, it was the middle of August, there was nobody around, so it all looked a bit run down. And I was talking to the parish priest, a young guy, quite energetic. I said, how many parishioners have you got? He said, oh, about 4,000. I thought, well, that's good. Well, how many come to church? He said, about 800. And this is Catholic Madrid and Spain. So I don't think it's a local phenomenon or a new phenomenon. I think that the number of church-going Catholics is probably fairly standard throughout the world. But I think one question we must address is where people get their image of church. Where do people think they see a picture of the church? Where do we get it from? All of us. I mean, where did you hear that Pope Benedict had been appointed? You didn't hear it from your parish priest. Where did you hear about the visit of the cabinet members to the Vatican the other week? You didn't hear it from your parish priest. It wasn't in the local, your church bulletin. It came through the BBC, ITV, Sky, whatever. We get our picture of the church through the media. Nearly all of it. We get our image of the church through the secular media. And by the use of the term secular there, I don't mean that in a pejorative sense, therefore it is anti-church. It's not. It's not at all. They simply report news. That's their job. That's the way they make money. They haven't got an agenda. They report news in the same way that I, as a priest, I say Mass. That's their job. But they report the church as it makes news. And so it makes news recently because Baroness Vasey goes out, and the phrase, the single phrase quoted in most of the papers was aggressive secularisation, threatening our Christian heritage. Aggressive secularisation. So we all take that to be true. We're all living in the face of aggressive secularisation. Walk through Crawley, where is it? You will not see an aggressive secularist on the streets of Crawley. I live in Pease Pottage, the exotically named Pease Pottage. You will not see an aggressive secularist there. It's interesting that up in Pease Pottage, which is nothing really, they're building new houses. And of course the local residents are not very happy about this. People coming to live in Pease Pottage, what's all this about? And so the flyer went round saying this is disgraceful. We're seeing the desecration of Pease Pottage. That was the word used. The desecration of Pease Pottage. I felt like writing to the man and saying, you can only desecrate what is sacred. Sacred is not a word you'd apply to Pease Pottage. And so there, there's just no question of, if you like, the presence of religion to be attacked. And likewise in Crawley, there isn't the presence of religion to be attacked in that way. We are not living in a time of aggressive secularisation. So we can't start fighting unreal battles. The thing we ought to be involved in, let's just forget that, and get back to the preaching of the gospel. Because if there is a crisis, I'd refer you to, I've done this very often, sorry for those who've heard it before, only got a minute left, to Father Jerry Arbuckle, who's a New Zealand Marist, and whose book, Earthing the Gospel, talks about what we're going through as church. And we're going through an enormous period of change because our old model of church has gone. Our old model of church, I was down in Worthing, which is in this diocese. Anyone here from Worthing? Hooray, Mark. Two people here from Worthing. It's the biggest town in West Sussex, did you know that? And there's a church in the middle called St. Mary of the Angels. I went round it with the parish priest, Father Chris Bennion, some months ago. And we got up onto the third floor. And I said, how many priests used to live here? He said, oh, at some stage, five. There's now one. So that old model of church is gone. And we're in, I think, a process of bereavement and loss. The old model of church is gone. And we're grieving that loss, even if we don't know it. What happens when we grieve, people would say that we go through a process which, first of all, involves denial. So-and-so's dead. Well, I heard very sadly Father Dick Quinlan the other day. Very sad loss to Southwark. And Dick Quinlan was down at a funeral here the other week. And someone said, did you hear Dick Quinlan died? And I said, well, he can't be. He can't be dead. I saw him the other week. So straight away, I was into denial. He can't be dead. I saw him the other week. And he looked fine. The second process very often of bereavement is anger. Anger with someone who's died. Why should he go and leave me? Leave me all alone, leave me whatever. And we're going through that process. You can see it in parishes. I've been to parishes and had the brunt of this anger. Well, can't you do something about it? Get priests in from Poland or somewhere else. But no, we can't. But Arbuckle says that when that happens, we become dislocated. We become sort of paralysed. We don't know where to go, what to do. And he says, you can't stay in that situation for long. You've got to do something. You've got to move. And he says, you can move one of two ways. And people think they can go back to the way things were, to a golden age when everything was fine. He said, there was never a golden age. Your memory is distorting the past. There was never a golden age, and you can't get back there. If you're married, you can't go on honeymoon again. You can't. You might be able to go back to the place you went to on honeymoon, but you will not have the same experience. And as church, we can't go back there. So the only place we can go, Arbuckle says, well, first of all, we've got to go forward and then know why we're going forward. And he says, what we've got to do is get back to our founding story. What are we about? We are about the preaching of the gospel to save the world. And so this project today that we're involved in is not about getting people back into church so our numbers rise. We are not concerned at all with numbers. That has nothing to do with it. Let's get that off the agenda. We're doing this because we believe we have a message which will change people's lives. So we're doing it for those who are out there drifting around. They've stopped going to the cinema because no one's there to go with them, and they don't know where the local cinema is. We're there to say, come along, come and see this film with me and get back into that habit again, and it will change your life and make you happy again. That's what we're saying to people. And we're doing it because we have a mission to save the world. It might seem ambitious, but that's what the Lord asks us to do. Go out and preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father. We are here to save the world. And it was appropriate that this morning in the Office of Readings, there's a bit from Gaudium et Spes. We're beginning this summer to celebrate 50 years of this diocese in 1965, and it coincides beautifully with the 50th anniversary of the Vatican Council. What we're doing here is, over 4 years, we're going to look at the four major documents from the Council, the four dogmatic constitutions, on the liturgy, on the Word of God, and on the Church. Gaudium et Spes and Lumen Gentium. And there's a wonderful quote here from Gaudium et Spes, which I think is very appropriate to what we're doing here today. The Church believes that Christ, who died and was raised for the sake of us all, can show us the way and strengthen us through the Spirit in order to be worthy of his destiny. Nor is there any other name under heaven given to people by which they must be saved. The Church likewise believes that the key, the centre, and the purpose of the whole of man's history is to be found in its Lord and Maker. She also maintains that in all these upheavals, there is a great deal that is unchanging, a great deal that has its ultimate foundation in Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. We are here simply to preach Christ to the nations, to do that confidently, to ignore what we're being told about marginalisation, crisis, secularisation, anything else, just get on with the job the Lord gave us and to do it optimistically and in the hope the Lord will not abandon his people and the Lord will bring this to fulfilment. So enjoy the day. Thank you for coming and supporting one another. That's a great thing. If there were three of you here, that would feel very, very weird. The fact that there are 170-odd is a great sign. There is passion and commitment in our church. Thank you for being here. And say have a good day, and thanks to those who brought us together.